more. It's the heart of the art form that we all adore. Your friendly neighborhood comic book store. Out among the stacks of new releases, browsing with your future new best friends, you're gonna find a book you'll love to pieces. The girl behind the counter recommends dollar books and shelves of graphic novels. Titles old and new, you'll find them all. With action figures, board games, toys, and models to add to your new Comic Wednesday haul. The Comic Book Store, the Comic Book Store. 'Cause that's where the books live, but it's also much more. It's the heart of the art form that we all adore. Your friendly neighborhood comic book store.
Good evening, everybody. This is Source Material Live. I'm your host, the Mandated Reporter, and frankly, I'm mortified, Mr. Mark Rattledge. And tonight, we are talking about the first four-issue limited miniseries, issues zero, because of course it's issue zero, through four, of Resident Alien, brought to you by Peter Hogan and Steve Parkhouse, which has now been adapted into a sci-fi television series. So we're taking on the first, the very first series of that, that was made into a trade paperback called Welcome to Earth. And that came out in 2012, as a matter of fact, the first issue did. Here to talk about that with me is Alexis Haina from Honeysuckle Rose Creations. How do you do, madam?
Did you know when you say Earth, you pronounce it like it's got an F in it, you say Earth?
Yeah, I do that on purpose. I'm making fun of Will Smith from Independence Day.
Oh, I just figured you sounded like you stubbed your toe. Earth!
Nope. Doing a bit that I've been doing for years, because if you ever listened to him when... have you ever watched Independence Day?
Oh, sure. I'm 36. I was like the prime demographic for that stupid movie.
Yeah, listen closely. That TH is not strong when he says it. That sounds like he's saying Earth.
I'll have to take a look at that.
All right, so this one kind of came out of me just playing around on the internet, looking for things that we can cover when the schedule wasn't quite as full as it is now. And I happen to have noticed that, like, back in January when the show was being promoted, there was a lot of promotion for it. It was, you know, I was starting to see stuff about Alan Tudyk's Resident Alien everywhere, and so I was like, oh, well, I wonder what this is. And independently of that, I also have a wiki search that I do for comics that have been made into television shows and movies, and I tend to look at the independent stuff because you can find a lot of things, especially on the Sci-Fi Channel. Like, they've turned all the independent comics into shows there. So it's comic book shows and Sharknado movies on the Sci-Fi Network. And I saw this one, and I said, oh, okay, you know, it's a comic book that was made into a television show. It's got Alan Tudyk in it. It's about an alien hiding in plain sight amongst the Earthlings. I'm like, this seems like fun. And that is literally all I knew about it, and I assume that's the same for you.
A little bit. I saw the promotions for it, and, you know, I adore Alan Tudyk. The man is freaking awesome. He's a terrific actor. He does not get enough respect, you know. I still remember when my family and I went to see Moana, and I'm laughing hysterically at Hey Hey the Chicken. I'm like, no, you don't get it. That's Alan Tudyk voicing the chicken. And my aunt looks at me and goes, it's a chicken. He's just clucking. I'm like, yeah, but it's Alan Tudyk doing the clucking.
Right. It's, like, it's like George Clooney doing Sparky the Dog on South Park. It's funny. Get it? You know, or Vin Diesel doing Groot.
Well, actually, if you're a fan of the Iron Giant, then hearing Vin Diesel do Groot was absolute perfection.
So, doing this over two shows, we're talking about the comic book tonight, that the first season was at least in part based on, and then we'll talk about the show, the first season of the show tomorrow. And here we go. So, issue number zero. I don't know why they feel the need to do zero issue stuff. I mean, I guess from what I've read about this, the stuff that makes up issue zero was actually presented in a different book, over three books, as a matter of fact. So it was compiled into this one comic, and that's issue zero. And then the three-issue miniseries starts proper after this. So the Doctor is in. Surviving a crash landing that ruins his spaceship, a stranded alien hopes to quietly live out his life in the sleepy town of Patience, USA, masquerading as a semi-retired doctor. He has some alien powers of empathy and the ability to mask his odd appearance from most people, but how long can he last undercover? After 3 long years of living below the radar, something in Patience is about to pull him out of hiding and into an uncomfortable spotlight. An alien adventure with humor, heart, and mystery from acclaimed creators Peter Hogan and Steve Parkhouse. So, this first issue starts off much the way the series does. And, you know, he's up there fishing, and the police come and get him and say, hey, the town doctor has been murdered, and we don't have another doctor or anyone else that can do an examination. Can you come and take a look at the body? And a little bit differently from... He's reticent to go because he doesn't want to be found out. But if he objects too hardly, they're going to be suspicious of him anyway. So he's sort of between a rock and a hard place. And he goes, and he suddenly realizes, you know, once he... after he does the examination and they ask him to fill in at the clinic for a while since they don't have a doctor and it's a small town, that he actually likes living among the humans because he misses the social interactions that he used to have. And that's a big part of this series and definitely this first issue. What did you think of it?
I thought it was interesting. One of the parts that kind of made me laugh a little bit is that they never show what the other people see when they look at him. We always see him as himself as the alien. You know, I thought it would have been interesting, at least at one part, to maybe see what they see in his human disguise. And I hate to say, I think that also would have been a little bit more crucial because they very briefly mentioned, maybe once or twice, that he can project a disguise. But if you didn't catch that, you'd probably be like, what the hell? Do they just think he is the freakiest looking human on the planet? Or something. I don't know. I guess I would have liked a little bit more detail about that sort of thing. But it is still a very interesting concept. I just wish they did more with it.
So, from what I remember, and correct me if I'm wrong here, he's in the comic, he's not there on a mission to destroy the world as he is in the show. He's actually just... He crash landed and he's waiting to be rescued is what's going on here. And in that time, he's just, you know, essentially gotten bored with being, you know, with waiting and kind of living out his life peacefully.
Yeah, I mean, in the series, it establishes that he goes out fishing on the lake because he's trying to find the body of the man he's impersonating. Mm-hmm. Here, he is literally just fishing because he is trying to blend in. It's just like, I don't get why people do this. I mean, yeah, it's relaxing, but you could just sit on the deck and look at the mounts. Same amount of relaxing. Why do I need to hold the damn fishing rod?
Yeah, one of the things that's fun about this alien is, you know, he's not particularly menacing. He's kind of a smart alecky. You know, they establish early on that, you know, these are spacefaring aliens, so clearly they're smarter than, you know, the average human. And so he's trying to... It's very much a fish-out-of-water story. He's trying to figure out, like, human customs and just trying to blend in and not, you know, not awake suspicion and make a fuss. But some of the things that he deals with are just so bizarre to him. And so you get... So, you know, it's a point-of-view character where you're in his mind and you're getting his thoughts and feelings. And it's funny, you know? It's very amusing to hear an outsider's perspective on some very banal things that we do as human beings.
Yeah, it is. But again, I kind of wish we learned a little bit more about it. We do get a few flashbacks here and there. We see that he had a love interest on his home planet. But I don't know. Maybe we were going to learn more as the series goes on. It just felt like these first 4 issues were kind of boring and bland.
Yeah, it seems like... It's weird that they only stopped with 4 and they stopped where they did, because it feels like... It feels like the beginning of a story.
Exactly. We also have a little subplot showing that the government did, in fact, manage to get a hold of... I'm guessing it's his ship. And they acknowledge that they are looking for somebody who's running it, because they can see that there was a seat that was ejected. But, again, it's like... you know, was that going, is that going to be built up for later issues? Are we going to see him trying to hide from, you know, I'm guessing it's the FBI or, you know, Mulder and Scully or something?
I kind of ran into the same issue with this as I ran into with The Boys, where the first season of The Boys goes further than the first trade did. So, you know, and then there's stuff in the second season that by the time you get to the second trade, they haven't even covered yet. I think it's like the first season mostly deals with the first two trades. And that's kind of what happens here, is part of what they do in the series is covered in this first trade. But then you have no idea if they go off in their own direction or if it's more of what's in later comics. Which makes it a little difficult, but I don't want to do like 50 books on one show. We start in one at a time. So, I mean, as a taste for the comic is a bit of a starter. It's not bad, you know. It just you said, I kind of wish there was more. One of the things they show you in the book as I'm flipping through the pages is as he takes over as the town doctor, you know, he talks about patients just wanting him to listen, and he's surprised how much they lie. You know, and so you're getting his perspective on the human race as it goes through it, and you know, and he's fascinated by it, and he's actually like enjoying himself, which I thought was funny.
Yeah, it is interesting when he starts getting wrapped up in the murder mystery, though. It kind of does make you wonder why he cares so much about, you know, what's going on. See, that's more of my problem, I guess, is that in the TV series, it's established he really doesn't care. He just sort of gets wrapped up into it. Here, it's clear that he keeps to himself. They established that in the beginning, that he doesn't really go to town, and, you know, he keeps to himself, which is fine. Again, you know, you understand that,
well,
but then
he develops a taste for murder mysteries, and I think that's part of it, is, one, he's been bored for 3 years, and two, over time, he's decided that he likes the murder mysteries, and now he's got a real-life one that he can actually solve, and, you know, he gets to use his brain again.
Yeah, I guess there's that. I just felt it was kind of a weird turn that all of a sudden he seemed to care after staying away from humans for so long. I guess I just felt like the characters weren't progressively developed, that it was sort of a sudden jump in, now he cares!
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this first Zero issue, he's intrigued. You know, his curiosity gets the best of him. And he even talks about that. He was like, I mustn't let myself get seduced by, you know, by the mystery here. The issue ends with Asta, who is also on the show, pointing a gun at him as he walks up to her house. And we'll find out that she can actually... Now, in the show, it's the kid who can see his true form, and here in the comic, she doesn't see his true form, that he's an alien. What she sees is a blur, and so she thinks her eyes are messed up, and that's a big part of this next issue. As it turns out, she sees a blur because she, on some sort of level, is able to see that he is not human.
I'd also just like to add, of course, in the first panel we see Asta, they had to draw her with a Native American necklace, because how else would we know that she's Native American?
Should have drawn her with a feather headdress, maybe.
Sorry, I know that sometimes it can be a little hard to tell from a illustrated skin tone the race of a character, but I just really hate it when somebody puts in an obvious thing like that. It's like, get it.
All right,
you know, we come away because she does go to see her father. Her father says he's a shaman, which seemed a little, I don't know, I don't even know if that's PC anymore, but it's like, we could have waited and then been like, oh, okay, she's Native American descent. All right, I get it.
So they have this long interaction here in the first part of issue number one, and again, she talks about her eyes, and he takes care of her, he makes her tea, and he was like, yeah, I'm sure you're fine. Meanwhile, the investigation of the murder is still going on, and we have the sheriff talking to one of the ne'er-do-wells in town to get some information, which he gives to him, and then we shift over to the funeral, and we see the alien kind of looking in from a distance, and he's like, I don't need to get myself tremendously involved here. There's a bit of intrigue here about, you know, wanting to solve this quickly, and it looks like I can't remember. There's like a town lawyer here and the sheriff, and they're sort of having a discussion about, well, is it this or is it that? Well, if it's this, then it means, you know, one thing, and if it's this other thing, you know, that could cost us tourists, and we don't want that. That's not really played up on any further. It's kind of like it's addressed and then that's it. They never deal with it again. But I did think that was interesting, and I'm wondering if they ever go back to it.
Well, that was the mayor. And again, I love that all of the other characters in this are such hilarious cardboard cutouts. I mean, for God's sakes, the mayor looks like the mayor from Jaws.
Okay. Definitely playing with tropes. I mean, I've seen Jaws once.
Hey, aliens, and we got a panic on the 4th of July.
Yeah. All right, so our ne'er-do-well goes to see one of his fellow criminals, and he walks in, and he's like, I know where you got this stuff, and I know you killed a decent man to get it. And he's like, I swear I didn't. So he's like, what happened? He's like, I don't know. I got in through a window, found the pills, then I saw the back door was open, the old man was out there dead and covered in blood. So it's not him that did it.
Yeah, drug dealer would be so willing to... it's like, that was still a good man, and I'm willing to turn you in for this. Like, wow.
Yeah. I think, you know, again, it happened in the book because the plot needed it to happen.
Yeah, very much.
And the alien goes to pay him a visit. We learn some more information there. And I think this is... The next bit is him talking to the wife of the deceased. Is that right?
No, the wife of the deceased was died. I think she's another nurse, or maybe she's mayor's wife.
Okay.
We're talking about the blonde woman with the gigantic nose.
Yep. And so what's established here is that she was in love with one guy who then ran off to war, and while he was away, she fell in love with the murder victim, and that's what he came back to. And he was never quite right after that, I think, is the story that she tells.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, I think she's either another nurse or that's the mayor's wife. I it's a little difficult to get. Maybe she's both. I don't know.
Maybe. Because it looks like there's a scene where he's talking to her, and then the next scene he's talking to the mayor again.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and so that's the end of issue number one. So the mystery is still building. We're still learning things here. It's fun. It's interesting so far. I have to say, I read this earlier today, and it didn't lose. It was short enough that it didn't lose my interest. Like I said, it was so short that it just feels like the beginning of a longer story. All right, so the summaries on Comic Vine basically just say the same thing for every issue. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And again, we learn a little bit about the alien's backstory, but it really does kind of leave you wanting more. This is very basic stuff. We see he's kind of got, I guess it's predator vision.
All right. Before we go talk about these next two issues, and Jesus, before I forget, let me talk to you about Grammarly. All right. So Grammarly is currently offering a free download of the Grammarly software. So what's Grammarly? Grammarly is an AI-powered product that helps people communicate more effectively. Grammarly helps you write mistake-free on Gmail, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and nearly anywhere else you write on the web. Grammarly corrects hundreds of grammar, punctuation, and spelling mistakes while also catching contextual errors, improving your vocabulary, and suggesting style improvements. To download Grammarly today, go to getgrammarly.com/W2M Network. Again, that's getgrammarly.com/W2M Network to download Grammarly for free. All right. So we're up to issue number two. We're halfway done here. And so we got with a flashback. And yeah, that you talked about the predator vision.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see that he's skulking around. It looks like he steals water and a computer and whatnot, and then he waits, and then we're back to the present again, and we have the sheriff, looks like, talking to who is this woman that he's talking to?
Well, it's another person has been murdered, and I'm guessing
that got stabbed with the knitting needle.
Yeah, I'm guessing this is a nurse or something. Because the way she... it's like, I don't have to put up with him anymore, except I'm out of a job now. So she's clearly not a member of his family. I'm guessing she's a live-in nurse.
Mm-hmm. All right, so, we have another murder victim here, and it's a knitting needle through the chest. Pretty... pretty cut and dry here. Now they've got to figure out who did it. We have a lawyer trying to get the ne'er-do-well out, and they're like, nope, we still have him on drug possession charges, so that's no. We're back to Asta, and the doctor tells her, your eyes are fine, just get some sleep. And here we meet Mr. Maxwell in the next portion of this comic. And this is where we get the story about the guy that went off to war. And, yeah, there she is. Quite a looker back in the day. Had the biggest crush on her. Never let her know, of course. But that isn't Hodges with her. No, that's Lance Whitehead, school star quarterback. He and Margie were quite the item that year. But Lance's football scholarship fell through, so he ended up getting drafted. We did basic training together. My war was nothing special, but he came back from Nam a hero. A decorated hero, I mean. But by then, Margie had taken up with Sam Hodges. Sure, she didn't mean to hurt Lance. She just fell in love. These things happen, you know. All right, well, we'll come back to that later.
Then we get a my flashback on the alien planet where apparently our alien was in love with Eva Green.
And so our Dr. Alien is talking to what's his face? Mr.
Maxwell.
Yeah, he's talking to Mr. Maxwell again. And he says, so what became of Mr. Whitehead? Poor bastard. The bank foreclosed on his parents' farm while he was overseas. So what with that and Margie there was nothing to keep him here. Heard he and his folks moved to Idaho and that Lance married some girl he met out there. Be nice to think so. Well, thanks for the trip down memory lane, Doc. See you next year. All right, so we'll come back to that later. And then we're back with Asta again. And she's going to go talk to her dad. Meanwhile, our alien is still doing some investigating on his own. He's now looking into Lance and seeing what the deal is. And so he starts to figure out that we have three murders, actually. We have the knitting needle situation. We have the guy that fell on the site, and that was the conversation of, well, if it was an accident, then, you know, it's probably fine and things are fine. But we now have three murders on our hands. That's a problem, and that could cost us Taurus. That was the conversation they had earlier. And so our alien's thinking, if these murders, and then we have Hodges, if these murders had happened 40 years ago, Whitehead would make a perfect suspect. But now, it just doesn't make sense. Could this all be coincidence? But if it is him, somehow, but then why?
When they first brought up, they brought up the farmer who fell on the scythe in either issue 0 or issue 1, when they're trying to figure out if they had a serial killer on their hands. I was convinced we were going to find out that the alien killed the farmer. So it's like he came across him before he had put up his disguise or something and he had killed him. But nope.
So she's been told now several times that her eyes are fine, but she's still seeing a blur whenever she sees Vanderspiegel. And so the father says, if he's a visitor to our world, what does your heart tell you to do about this person? And she was like, oh, if it wasn't for the blur thing, I'd say he was a good guy, a good doctor. He's the new doctor. Does anyone else see what you see? I don't think so. And perhaps you see it because there's a bond between you. See, okay, he's talking about there's a bond between them. And in the show, they take a couple of episodes to really build that relationship that they're going to then pay off later at the second half of the show. So, like, I get the relationship between Harry and Asta on the show. They really rushed it here. Like, he's already saying they have a relationship, and I'm like, she's been in one part of the comic with him, and in that same panel, she was holding a gun on him. Like, where did this relationship come from?
Not to mention, it's a little weird because it's clear that they're not talking like he's an alien. They're saying more like he's a spirit visitor. Mm-hmm. And again, I really don't know much about, you know, the way Native American people are nowadays, but I'm listening to this going, this is coming across like it was written by a white person who has absolutely no idea what he's talking about.
Yep, he was like, oh, Indians, they believe in spirits and shit, that's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Like again, with the whole thing with her wearing the Native American necklace and everything, I'm like, you really don't know what the hell you're talking about, do you, dude?
So, we're back with our alien and the blonde woman again, and they're talking about Lance Whitehead, and she says, hey, that name rings a bell. He's one of ours. He and his wife moved from Moved here from Idaho about a year ago. Sad story, she died a month after they got here. Doc prescribed him some sleeping pills afterwards, and that's the last resort. Okay, and so now we do a flashback to 3 years ago, and we have some men in black, and they seem to have found something. We don't know what that is, though, at least in this
issue. Oh, look, there's Will Smith.
Yeah. All right, so the last issue, issue number 3 here of 4. final issue 3 of 4 issues. So he goes to visit Lance, and Lance is drunk. And he figures out that Lance didn't murder anybody. He's just sad. Like you would be.
This guy basically says, I don't need sleeping pills. I got booze.
Yep. And so that's a dead end. And then he's trailed by this guy on a motorcycle like you do. We get a flash over to some cops, and they hear about the motorcycle guy over the radio, and they say, go. And then we see Asta and our alien friend talking at the clinic. And he goes outside. He hears a noise. He goes outside, and of course, he gets jumped by Maxwell. And Maxwell tries to kill him. And here's our big explanation. So Asta comes outside. She puts a sick shot on him. And he's like, and suddenly Maxwell, who seemed fine before, becomes like a supervillain. He's like, you're talking like a crazy mustache twirling villain. He's like, nosy, nosy, can't have that. Like, who talks that way? Come on. And then of course he's got to be racist and say, you're next, squaw.
Ugh, of course. It just kills me that Asta freaking shoots Harry, the doctor, the alien, in the leg, the next bubble just goes, sorry, doc. This time, and she pulls a gun. I'm like, I don't know. I can't help but feel that if you had shot someone in the leg, even if it was an accident or everything, it wouldn't have been like, oh, sorry. I feel like there would have been a little more emotion going, oh, God, I'm sorry, or I don't know, just something.
So she ends up shooting Maxwell in the shoulder, and he attacks her like you do. Then the police come, and he's arrested. That's it, and he's not wearing any clothing. And I think they ask him about that. Oh, God, what was the...
Yeah. When you're naked, the gooks can't see you.
Right. Because he went to Nam and came home racist. Maybe he went there racist, and he was just more racist. Or the same amount of racist, just differently racist.
Well, either way, the police just go, oh, great, an insanity plea.
Yeah, yep. So Maxwell says, deserve to die, and I did it for Lance, of course. You've seen what he's become. He was a hero, and now he's pathetic. Those people robbed him of the life he could have had. The life he deserved. I just wanted to even the score. Glad I did. All right. And that's really that. They just sort of tie this up with a neat little bow. Asta treats his leg wound pretty simply.
She makes it clear. She hints that she adds, like, I already know, okay? I know. You're not like us. And you see Harry kind of freak out and going, wait, what? But again, she doesn't mean alien.
Yeah, and they don't rap, and they don't say what it is. They go back to another flashback, which is kind of in like a black and white type deal, and we see that it's the wreckage from his ship. And lastly, let's see. Sorry, Your Honor, absolutely not. But I just want to see him for a minute. Look, the poor man had a bullet taken out of him last night and needs rest. But I brought some candy. I'll see that he gets it. Well, good to see him smiling anyway. Yeah, morphine will do that. No scoot. And he's dreaming of home, and that's it. And it's to be continued in Resident Alien Volume 2, The Suicide Blonde. So, overall, your final thoughts here. There's not a whole lot else to say.
I'm sorry, did you want me to go first, or do you want to go first?
No, let me finish what my thought, and then you can have the final word.
Okay, I apologize.
You know, it's funny, you know, Chris Sheehan and I often kind of compare things to The Death of Hawkman, where it's like, well, you're entertained by something, but there's not much to say about it. It's like, okay, for whatever time it took me to read that comic, I was entertained by what I was reading. And water is wet, you know, and it costs you $1.50 to get on the bus. Like, there's nothing to it. It's just, it's fine. It's all fine. There's... It doesn't ask any important questions. It doesn't really ask anything of the reader. It's just it was an amusing story, and I tend to favor murder mysteries, even ones as pretty simple and straightforward as this one. And so, you know, I also often always complain that, like, the books are too long and that they tend to fill up comic pages with stuff that detracts from the central story. Here, this probably could have used another issue or two. I needed more of Harry and Asta. I needed a little bit more on the guy that eventually ends up being the killer, so that when he finally gets caught, that's actually meaningful. It isn't, the guy over there did it. You know, Chris and I talked about this on the St. Patrick's Day episode, where we read the Grimm's Fairy Tale, where the killer ends up being, like, a guy in the background of another panel, who we do not know, and so when he shows up and it's him, like, visually, cinematically, that might have worked, but in a comic book, it doesn't really work as well. And it's kind of the same thing here. He gets the one scene when he's getting a checkup, but then that's it. And, you know, your narrative should be a little thicker, a little meatier than all of that. So, halfway decent first start. I like this. We'll talk about this more tomorrow, but I like the show better than I like the comic so far. And I know this. Apparently, this comic was a huge hit, which is why it ended up being adapted into a show. I'm guessing it gets better as it goes on, because this is a nice first start, but it ain't great. Your thoughts, madam?
There was nothing wrong with this comic per se. There was nothing. I mean, again, I felt that the Native American writing probably could have really used a touch more subtlety, let's say. But maybe that's just the PC police in my head turning their sirens on. I don't know. But I walked away thinking, okay, this is a very safe, straightforward book. Yeah, I mentioned earlier, the murder mystery itself is not bad, but if we didn't see a character that looked like, you know, one of the Walking Greys coming, you know, on every panel, we probably would walk away saying this is the most boring, lame, uneventful comic book we have ever read. You know, there would have been nothing to take home from that. And I kind of wish that they had explored a little bit more to make it a little bit more fun. And again, maybe we're going to get that in future issues. I don't know. But this book, while still enjoyable, I hate to say it, I walked away going, it's like, well, do I want to, you know, order the next issue? No, actually, I don't think I do. It's one of the few times I've read something and I sit there and go, there's not enough here to make me want to continue reading. And again, I feel bad because I have been watching the TV series. Of course, we're going to talk about that tomorrow. And it's really enjoyable. And I really like that they go more into the quirkiness and the eccentricities of this of the alien. And it's a little bit more engaging because of that. He's dull. There is really nothing about this alien that you want to learn more of.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. Like I said, I want to, when the next series season comes out, which I think this has already been renewed for another season, you know, obviously we'll do another book, and hopefully, you know, we'll learn more about this character, we'll learn more about their situation, and they'll flesh this out a bit more. Or maybe not. You know, like I said, I'm not as hard on it as you are. I'm interested to see what happens next. I would actually read more of this if I wasn't in the middle of doing 100 other things, because I am fascinated. I want to see where this is going. The story feels incomplete to me. I think that's where we are. So, like, I'm not ready to completely just be like, nope, I'm done with this. Believe me, I've been there with other books where, like, by the time I'm like, I don't need to read any more of this. I don't want to read any more of this story or these characters. This one, I'm not quite there yet. So,
maybe I would have appreciated also if we saw more of a threat from the Men in Black. Mm-hmm. You know, they're really not a presence in this. We know they're going to be looking for the alien, but part of the drive of what makes you want to continue is, you know, where is the danger? And we don't get enough of the danger, you know, put together in this. And again, I'm sure there's going to be future issues where the Men in Black are going to get closer to the town in Colorado. But I guess I would have liked a little bit more with them, as in what they're going to do and how they're going to figure this out.
All right. So tomorrow, come back again. We'll drop another show. This time, we will talk at length about the TV show. At the time of this recording, I've watched 9 out of 10. So I'm really, as soon as we're done recording, I'm going right back to it again. I got to see how it ends. I've really been enjoying it so far. And it didn't hook me immediately. It didn't hook me right away. I kind of pushed myself to watch in the beginning. But then as the show, as it unraveled and, you know, more stuff was happening, I'm like, oh, now you've hooked me. Now I'm really interested. And it's a lot of likable characters. So I'm anxious to talk about it. And I'm definitely anxious to see how it ends. All right. In the meantime, we also dropped an NXT review today. It was mostly NXT Nights 1 and 2 of Stand and Deliver. But we did briefly mention NXT UK Prelude. Tomorrow, we're doing WrestleMania's Nights 1 and 2. I threw up a couple of commentaries I did with my family while we were watching. The first night, we did the one for Braun Strowman versus Shane McMahon because I thought Braun Strowman was going to murder Shane McMahon and throw him from a high precipice. That's kind of what Shane does. He just dumped him off the cage, which is, you know, not great for a 50-year-old. But, you know, when you've seen Shane McMahon jump from what appeared to be the top of the of a stadium somewhere, you're like, huh, not quite the same. And then we did one for the Nigerian drum match, and we did one for Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn with Logan Paul. In all three situations, we really were expecting some insane stuff to happen. As a matter of fact, there's a fourth one that we didn't even post because we really thought that The Fiend versus Randy Orton was going to be insane and that was going to produce a lot of laughter amongst my family. And it just left us sad and confused. So that that's always a fun experience when you're watching wrestling, to be sad and confused. Anyway, so that's tomorrow, and then we're back here again for Resident Alien. Wednesday night, we're starting a new show. Myself and Pat Mullen will be reviewing all of the WrestleManias, and we're going to start with the first one, going all the way back to 1985 with Hogan and Mr. T, with Snuka in their corner, versus Roddy Piper and Orndorff with Cowboy Bob Orton in their corner, and the Andre the Giant Big John Studd $15,000 body slam match, and Junkyard Dog versus Greg the Hammer Valentine. You know, the WrestleMania, the one that started it all. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about the history of it. That'll be a fun show. Try to do those once a month or so, like we do with the boxing. And then Wrestling Week ends with No Holds Barred. We're going to put that on trial. Sean's going to prosecute it. I'm going to defend it. And then just remember to tune in every Friday going forward, as the archives are now open and we are dropping a single episode from the archives going all the way back to 2013. We're starting with all of our what would eventually become Damn You Hollywood, but once was what was one time known as the 411 Summer Blockbuster Series, and then it had no name for a while because I was super creative. It was just like, this movie review. We're dropping one of those a week for the foreseeable future. So check out how far we've come and where we started in podcasting. It's a lot of fun there. And then Alexis Haina will be back next week as well as tomorrow. We're doing a comic strip. This was so important to me that we do this. I actually bought the book and sent it to her. We're doing jiu-jitsu. So that'll be fun.
Pray for me. This is a Nicolas Cage movie that currently sits on Rotten Tomatoes with a 29%.
I can't wait. It's going to be fantastic.
Well, speaking of new shows, we do also have a new show that is currently cooking. We are going to be launching a monthly trivia show here on the Ravlage and Broadcasting Network. Myself and Jesse Starcher are going to be hosting. The theme is going to change once a month based on what's popular, what's going to be coming out as far as movies and books. I'll go ahead and give you guys a little spoiler, though. Our first show, which is we're going to be recording in early May, the theme is going to be sci-fi. It's going to be in honor, of course, of May the 4th, Star Wars Day. And we are still looking for contestants. We're going to be looking for people who want to chime in and get some fun trivia questions. If sci-fi is not your bag, we are going to be changing the theme every month. So keep listening to the show. We're going to, keep following us on Facebook and Twitter. We're always going to be looking for new people to participate. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we're really hoping you guys will tune in.
Yeah. Who else has signed up for it besides you and Jesse? I know there were some people who had some conflicts, but anybody, have you gotten any confirmed guests?
Jason Teasley has agreed that he is going to be one of our first guests. We're still looking for a few others. We're going to try to shoot for 3 to 5 contestants on each show. No, Cleo, you don't count.
All right. And, of course, you sell jewelry, homemade jewelry.
Yeah, I know. I just thought I'd actually try to help plug the network before I plug myself for once. One, I'm trying to be a good employee, so, you know, I can start getting paid. But yes, Honeysuckle Rose Creations, where fashion meets fandom at the intersection of geek and chic. All of our items are still currently in stock, and we have some news that next month we're going to be hosting our big Memorial Day sale. It's going to be going on all week. And as a plus, we are going to be doing a charity drive. Ow! While I get my foot bit by my dog. Ow! I'm sorry. That was a way to, you know, interrupt everything. But yeah, we are going to be doing a charity drive for, let me double check on the name of this group here, for Tiny Houses for Homeless Veterans. This is a veterans community project helping provide housing and homes for those who really need it, those who have served us and our country. We're going to be putting in more details as we get a little bit closer, so stay tuned. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Again, that's Honeysuckle Rose Creations, the intersection of geek and chic. That's Eddie in the background saying, follow us and check it out.
All right, before we go, Amazon is giving away a free 30 days of their Amazon Music service. It's a great service. Jesse and I like to play with it on the Metal Hammer of Doom. When we did the Tomahawk show, we actually played a little bit of Imperial Teen that was on there, and that was fun. With the Rob Zombie show, we went back and we played some White Zombie, like pre-Los Exorcisto days. So, yeah, we like to get on there and mess around. There's always fun stuff you can find there. I think on one of the shows we did, just for the hell of it, I found a rapper who called himself, like, something about the Hulk. And, yeah, I have found all kinds of weird music, which I love, on AmazonMusic.com. And so get a free 30 days on us by going to GetAmazonMusic.com/W2M Network. That's GetAmazonMusic.com/W2M Network. And you can take advantage of the Amazon Music experience for free on us by using that link. All right, that's it for Source Material Live. I'm Mark Radledge. She's Alexis Haina. Be well, be safe, and behave.